In our November 2017 episode, we had a conversation with ultrasound whiz Mike Mallon about the study. Ultrasound use during cardiopulmonary resuscitation is associated with delays in chest compressions. The take home from that study was doing ultrasound prolongs CPR pauses. In fact, it almost doubled the length. Time of pause with ultrasound, 21 seconds. Without ultrasound, 13 seconds. And the conversation about that study, it's been reviewed other times on the show, and it's all in FOMED, it's all out on the internet, is that you should be cognizant of the ultrasound and how long you're pausing when you're doing ultrasound in a patient who's getting CPR. And luckily for us, we have Dr. Bill Reed back on the show. You might remember him about the blunt-tipped LP needle. Oh, yes.
And so what pisses me off is that I got to take care of the postdural puncture headache. I didn't do the LP. I'm not the cheese ball. And guess who I got to call? I can't do a blood patch, right? So I got to call the anesthesiologist. And there's nothing more uncomfortable than an anesthesiologist who's not in the operating room, right? They need their little blue gas and green gas and purple gas and the machines that go. And if they don't have that, they're really uncomfortable when they come to our environment. And then they blame you or me. And that's not my shit, right? So I didn't do it. And he who smelt it, dealt it. And I don't want to channel my inner Greg Henry, but primum non nocere, right? We all took that oath. Don't do that, okay?
Yeah, that guy. And Bill's got a little bit of a different take on this study.
I caught that episode and I was pretty stoked because finally we're starting to see some data on what this thing does in resuscitation. And I really like cardiac arrest, right? That's one of my gigs. And I'm not sure how I got passionate about it, but I dig it. And I thought that you guys missed the point.
As per usual.
Because you're an idiot. Self-proclaimed. The upside down, if you will, if you're a fan, is
a
that
fan of Stranger Things season two.
There you go.
Oh, so good.
Great show.
Boom. Boom.
Ow! Demogorgon! We're deep.
This is the first study that shows you shouldn't have that thing anywhere near a cardiac arrest patient. Perhaps maybe there's a small subset where you might have it be useful, and we can talk about that. But I think the device causes harm. And there's other places you can put that probe.
Let's pause there for a second. Now, you say that it causes harm, but this study showed that it just increased the pause. Like, this study wasn't looking at outcome. It was just, hey, the pause is longer.
Sure. But we can look at studies that show that pauses cause increased mortality. So is it true, true, and unrelated, or is it true, true, and related? And I think it's the latter, that the pauses cause mortality. The ultrasound causes pauses. So put that thing away or put it up your rectum. You can look at splanchnic flow, and there was an article last month that talked about splanchnic flow and CPR when the probe's in your butt, and it works really good.
I haven't caught that article, and I'm surprised because that sounds like something that I would be reading avidly.
Yeah. Probably a little bit above you.
Before you go looking for this article on rectal ultrasonography to evaluate splanchnic flow in patients undergoing CPR, let me save you a moment because I looked for a long time on Google Scholar, and I couldn't find anything about it. And then I called Bill. And he said it was a joke. Meh, there you go. Let's say it was a 10-second pause. You know, it's not exactly, but we'll keep it at 10 seconds. How long does it take to get your perfusion pressure back up? You look at those graphs of the perfusion pressure, and then there's CPR pause, and it drops off precipitously. And then it takes a while, a pumpity, 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 pump, to get it back up to the level where you want it to be. So what exactly is happening here during that extra time that the ultrasound's being done?
And we talk about pressure. Let's just say coronary perfusion pressure. And in the models, they looked at aortic pressure, essentially. And so it's a correlate, I guess. But it drops off within 3 seconds back to zero. So you were at zero at 3 seconds.
A 3 second pause, you're starting all over again.
You're starting all over again. It's not one-to-one to get back to where you were. So just because you start up at 3 seconds doesn't mean you're right back where you left off 3 seconds ago. You were starting at zero. Essentially, you've lost mathematically about 20 or 21 seconds of coronary perfusion for that simple 3 second pause. And if you do the math, if you walk that out, it takes you roughly 16 seconds or 30 compressions to get back to where you left off. And that's a huge deficit. And if you start multiplying that out to 5 seconds of a pause or a 10 second pause or a 21 second pause like these chuckleheads had in their ultrasound study, that has a negative impact on survivability. And this is our wheelhouse, right? We own this one. And so we need to do this properly.
You and I are working together. Patient gets wheeled in. They just had a code in the waiting room. Now, I know you are a huge proponent of high performance CPR, which is minimizing pauses. I mean, that's really one of the main focuses here. And you and I happen to be the docs taking care of that patient. And you are running the code, and I walk in with the ultrasound. It's like, hey, let me see what's going on with this heart here. What do you say, and why do you say it?
I say, take a seat, and I'll get back to you. Because the four components of high quality or high performance CPR, you can choose your verbiage there, are rate, so 110, or technically between 100 to 120, but 110 works best with a metronome. Depth, that's number two, 2 to 2.5 inches. Full recoil, right? That's how the heart gets its blood, so you can't lean. And number four is minimize pauses. That's it, four simple things. That's all you gotta do. You run that out for 2 minutes, 10 seconds, let's say, before your 2 minute check, you pre-charge your defibrillator, assuming you've got the pads on, and you see what you got. There's no ultrasound, there's no airway, there's no IV. If you have an opportunity to have someone drill, that's faster than an IV, sure, if you have that resource. But ultrasound is out there with Bertillium right now. Not there.
Actually, you said a couple things there that I want to get a little bit deeper on. And one is you say, take a seat with the ultrasound. But I know that you actually like ultrasound and you do use it in code sometimes. So when is it that you're a student of the best possible CPR you can do? When are you using it in a code?
And that's a good question. I use it when I'm bored. Because you got to have something to do. And you know what it's like. It's like, can I borrow your yard debris trailer today? Are we going to the gym after work? When are we going to go out to dinner? How are the kids? But seriously, I think there are uses for ultrasound in all-cause cardiac arrest. Personally, I like, if I have the bandwidth, to put it on the femoral artery. I can watch my compressions that way. So it's a surrogate in a sense, but it's the femoral artery and you can watch it pulse. Because I'm close, I can see how my compressor is doing. If I have real-time feedback, I can tweak their quality, their depth, their rate, making sure they're not leaning, all those things real-time. And I can correlate it essentially too with end-tidal CO2. It's just another surrogate for how well you guys are doing on the chest, how well your team's doing. But other than that, I'm not sure that I find it helpful, other than it's really neat when you watch your compressor come off the chest to see how fast the artery stops. And it literally is 1/1000, 2/1000, and it's not beating anymore. It'll sink into your brain how important it is for you to decide if that's a perfusing rhythm or not, and then move on. If it's asystole, what is a subxiphoid view gonna do? Does that tell you anything? Assuming your leads are on the chest,
that's
of course.
The thing right there. As you're saying this, I'm thinking, okay, where has ultrasound really been useful in codes? And I'm thinking of a code I had a week ago of a patient who was in all kinds of crazy rhythms and then had an organized rhythm. And that is the time when I think it's useful. I think if you have asystole, if there's asystole and it's been asystole for a while, it's like, okay, just take a look because maybe there's something hinky with the leads, maybe something disconnected. Is it truly asystole? And when there is an organized rhythm returned, you know, regardless of the end-tidal CO2, regardless of whatever, I want to say, okay, what is the heart doing in this organized rhythm? I mean, it can be wide complex, it can be narrow complex, but I want to know, is it pumping or is it just not moving at all and all I see are electrical spikes?
So shortcut it, if you have it on the femoral artery, you're watching the thing compress, you get your 10 seconds countdown that you're coming up to your 2 minute check, you're looking at the monitor across from you, they come off the chest, you see organized rhythm, you look over at your ultrasound screen, it's still beating, you've got ROSC. If you do not see contractility of the femoral artery and you see an organized rhythm, as you say, then I think you might have a play to take a quick peak subxiphoid. And I would recommend you do this. Just count 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and go back on CPR. Your CPR fraction will stay above 90% if you ballpark things between, we say no longer than 10 seconds, but if you hit 5 seconds, your CPR fraction is gonna be above 95%. And that's phenomenal. We know 80% is kind of what our goal should be. AHA says 60. I don't know how they came up with that stupid number. We routinely, with my two EMS agencies, are above 90% with cardiac arrest. So it's really easy to do. You just got to be cognizant of time. And if you say it out loud, you can chew gum at the same time. You can talk and chew gum at the same time. You can walk and chew gum at the same time. You can ultrasound and count at the same time. You just got to count down and make sure you're on that. Because otherwise you'll be lost in space and you'll be touching knobs and you'll be like, I don't know. I don't know. And I don't know leads to death because that's a pause the patient can't tolerate.
And I think that you and Mike, I mean, coming from this from a little bit different angles, actually have the same conclusion. While Mike is not only an ultrasound expert, he's also an echo expert specifically. His take home was you shouldn't be relying on ultrasound every pulse check. You should be thinking about how your code is proceeding and then, you know, maybe look at it once at some point if you need to, but otherwise get your hands on the chest.
Keep your hands on the chest. Keep your rate at 110. Allow full recoil, no leaning. Minimize your pauses and you'll do great. You'll do great. Your patients are going to do great. And that's proven. And we know if you bump your CPR fraction by every 10%, your survivability is correlates 1-to-1 with that. So if you go from a 60% CPR fraction to a 70% CPR fraction, 10% more of your cardiac arrest patients are going to walk, at least in VFib. And that's huge. So if you keep your fraction high, your survivability is going to be high. And that's how my agencies have done so well with out-of-hospital cardiac arrest. And this is why we got to do this in hospital.
Summary.
I don't think the takeaway is to never do ultrasound, but to really think about, is ultrasound going to change your management? Do you really need to apply it here? Because the study that we have talked about a few times showed that ultrasound almost doubled the pause time. And how Bill sees that is ultrasound equals longer pause. Longer pause equals worse outcome. Ipso facto, ultrasound may lead to worse outcome. That is not what the evidence shows. That's just the inference that's been made in this conversation. In a narrow complex rhythm after ROSC, or there's a rhythm change and things are looking like they're more organized, as we've heard on the show previously, a PEA algorithm uses ultrasound to decide what to do. But in general, our focus should be on the highest quality CPR and the shortest possible pauses.